have been recently watching a show on the History Channel called Pawn Stars. Anyone seen the Pawn Stars on History Channel? There's a couple of us out there that have seen the Pawn Stars. It's a reality TV show filmed in a pawn shop out in Las Vegas, Nevada, that has been on the air for 20 years now. I was kind of surprised it's been on the air that long. But the concept of this show is a pretty simple one. I mean, these people come into a pawn shop. It's a real-life pawn shop that anyone can visit out there. They come in, and they want to sell some of their valuables and get some money so that they would get rid of their unwanted items. And Rick Harrelson, the owner of the shop, tells the seller a little bit about what they're trying to sell, some of the history background, some of the story around it, and additional information, and then offers to buy it to know that he can resell it to someone else, right? That's what pawn shops do. They buy things to sell things to others, right? And sometimes he's not familiar with certain items, and so he brings in some of his friends, some other experts, and they come in and they evaluate what the product is. They use magnifying glasses or with samurai swords. They take them apart to show the certain things in the samurai swords or whatnot. Or they use a little loop, that's the eye thing that jewelers call, to kind of examine it a little closer to see if it's real or fake or genuine. But more often than not, people come into this pawn shop with their hopes that what they have is worth a lot of money, right? That's what they're hoping. That's what everyone hopes for. Hey, this is worth, you know, thousands of dollars. Unfortunately, most of the time, they find out that their treasures is not what they think it is. Their first edition book is not actually the first edition. It's the second printing of the first edition. Or their coin is altered in some way that makes it less valuable. Or their items have been reproduced and made to seem older, but they're really not. And so their hopes that their treasures are worth something is disappointed. They leave disappointed and sometimes even mad. Sometimes some of the customers leave mad because what they thought was worth an awful lot wasn't worth much at all. However, once in a while, there comes a person in the shop that says, "Oh yes, I just got some useless trinket here. You know, what will you give it for me?" And they find out that this little thing that they bought at a yard sale or an estate sale or a thrift shop was actually worth something. It's actually worth a lot of money. And they're surprised that what they thought wasn't worth a whole lot was so valuable to them. After listening to Rick or the expert's evaluation, they found it's worth much, much more than that they were even going to ask for. And they're surprised at the value of it. Well, this is what Easter is like for Christians. If the story of Easter was not part of the Bible, we would not have the Bible as we have it today. If the life of Jesus ended on Good Friday, if Jesus died on the cross on Good Friday, we would not have the Bible as we know it today. He would have just been labeled as another messianic figure, like hundreds and maybe even thousands of unknowns before him. He would have been remembered, if he was remembered at all, as a person who taught about heaven, but got caught up in the political and religious leaders of the day and died a criminal's death, and whose followers would have abandoned him. His miracles that we read about would have been chalked up to myths or legends or even outright lies made to glorify a mere human. Without Easter, Jesus' followers would have been scared and scattered. Some of them probably would have went back to fishing and chalked up those last 3 years that they had on earth walking with Jesus as just an accident or useless, spent with a pretender, a waste of time, and shoe leather. Their time with this strange rabbi worthless as an old coin in their pocket, and definitely not worth four people from diverse backgrounds writing the story of his life and teachings. A Pharisee named Saul would never have converted to a minor Jewish sect who revered a man who was cursed by God by dying on the cross, if anyone would have even thought about starting such a religion to begin with. So there would be no New Testament writings. And the Old Testament would have been chalked up as even less followers because it was an antiquated religion focused on blood sacrifices and the otherwise barbaric practice of circumcision. Judaism would just be another religion of do's and don'ts. All hope of salvation and restoration and redemption would be lost. Heaven would just be a fairy tale. Eternal life, a dream. Just a hopeless cycle of trying to please an unpleasable God until we all just blink out of existence in some sort of nihilistic type of ideas. I came across this tweet this last week that kind of sums up this hopelessness, what it feels like. The person wrote, "Today is my birthday, and people have plans for me, and people are wishing me happy birthday wishes. But honestly, the wish I want to come true is to disappear. No conflict, just poof, gone. I don't feel like my life has actually contributed to the universe. I feel like I'm just a waste of human flesh. I'm tired of work and routines of people and just want everything to go away. Sometimes I wish I would be satisfied with just locking myself in the room and blanket fording it up, but it just doesn't feel like enough anymore. I guess my rant is done. I'm going to stop before I ramble. Thanks to anyone who reads this." Such hopelessness. But Easter, and the message of Easter changes all this. The message of an empty tomb puts all hopelessness out the window. As we sang this morning, we don't serve a dead Savior, a buried Savior. We serve a living Savior. He lives. He's not buried and forgotten in some unknown tomb far off country. He's alive. God raised him from the dead, and from that to prove that he is indeed the long-awaited Messiah. It proves that Jesus was more than just a good teacher or a moral rabbi. He was who he claimed he was. He was the very Son of God who came to this earth in the flesh so that we could be reconciled to God again. The resurrection from the dead makes Christianity different from any other religion because Buddha is dead and we can go to his tomb. Muhammad is dead and we can still see his tomb as well. All the other religions of this world serve a dead man or woman, depending on your religion. But the empty tomb that Jesus was laid, or the tomb that Jesus was laid in is empty. It still is. He rose again, never to die. And people, even from the beginning, have tried to explain away this empty tomb, that it couldn't have been empty. Maybe it was the wrong tomb that the people went to. Or maybe the body was moved or stolen. Maybe Jesus didn't really die, but he was just in such a bad state that they thought he died, and the cool tomb revived him, and he managed in his frail state after just being crucified to roll away the stone, the heavy stone that was in front of the tomb, and wander off, not to be seen again, but he wandered off naked because he left the grave clothes back in the grave. It just doesn't make sense. None of that would explain even the changes in the behavior of his disciples. If you look at these disciples, these are untrained, uneducated men who just spent 3 years following this man and believing the words that Jesus taught them, and they were willing to die clinging to those beliefs. This was not a hoax or an elaborate deception. If the resurrection was a lie, then it was a bad lie to begin with. I mean, who would believe someone rose from the dead? Right? Who would believe that? He rose from the dead? Oh, yeah. No one does that. But the New Testament was written and widespread within just one generation of the events that it occurred in. And so the myths and legends and the fables that might have come up over time did not have time to develop. And the eyewitnesses of these events were still alive and could be cross-examined and questioned. So Easter Sunday happened. And this morning we're going to look at two passages of Scripture that tells us about the hope that the resurrection had, because hope is risen. Hope rose from the grave that Sunday morning. So if you have your Bibles, open to Acts chapter 2. I'm going to read about this sermon, actually, at Acts chapter 2, about the resurrection of Jesus. You see, after Jesus rose from the dead, he spent 40 days on earth, and we're told that he appeared to over 500 people during that time. But 10 days after that, as he ascended to heaven, 10 days after he ascended, what we celebrate as Pentecost came. And the Holy Spirit came upon 120 people. of Jesus' disciples as they were in Jerusalem. And they started speaking in strange tongues, we're told in chapter 2. And Peter gets up before the crowd and explains what's happening. He gives us our first post-resurrection sermon ever recorded. And the sermon brought hope to the people from all around. Let me read you part of the sermon, and you can judge for yourself if this speech is from a man who is lying about what happened to Jesus. Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 22. You can see it on the screen up here this morning. It says, "Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for the death to keep hold of him. David said this about him." This is King David from the Old Testament. "I saw the Lord always before me. Because he's at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will live in hope, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with the joy of your presence." Does this sound like someone who's lying? Someone who's making up a story? I don't think so. It's someone who realizes the hope that Jesus' death and subsequent resurrection brings. It sounds like someone who, with the help of the Holy Spirit, has finally put the pieces of the puzzle together, who put what Jesus taught and how he died and how he now lives in perfect order with the help of the Holy Spirit. It proves that Jesus is who he said he was, and that Jesus' death and resurrection was part of God's plan to redeem the whole world. He says a few verses later, "Therefore, let all Israel be made assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ," the Messiah. This is the evidence. This is the proof. This is the verification that Jesus is the Son of God. And this is the hope that we can have, that God raised to life that morn, that hope is risen. And because of this hope, we too do not have to fear death. We don't have to worry when we die whether or not we'll cease to exist or blink out of existence. Because Jesus now lives, we have hope in the resurrection ourselves. Did you notice what David said there? That Peter quoted? He says, "Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body will also live in hope, because you will not abandon me to the grave. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence." You see, God will not abandon us to the grave. He'll fill us with joy. Because Jesus rose from the dead, we had this promise of life as well. And this is why we celebrate Easter. This is why we're here this morning. This is why we have the Bible as we know it. It's not just that Jesus died for us, but that Jesus rose from the dead. It's his promise that we too will live forever if we believe in the message of Jesus. This message gives us strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. This message of new birth, of new life, of new power, because of the fact that Jesus is not rotting away in some tomb for over the last 2,000 years. And this message of Peter is the same message that we preach today. It's the same message that I'm sharing with you, that God never abandoned Jesus, that God raised Jesus from the dead and freed him from the agony of death. No grave could hold the Lamb of God. No stone could contain his glory. No tomb could keep the Son of God from new life. And this is the hope that we celebrate this morning. This is why we have church. This is why we have a body of believers who gather and praise, not just because God made us, but because we have a Savior in Jesus as well. This is why the horrible nightmare of the cross on Friday was not referred to as a bad Friday, but it's called Good Friday, Because even though the horrible things happened on Friday, because of what happened on Sunday, it's now good. The resurrection changed that. The enormous change was so that the resurrection gives us that hope. And you can see it in the sermon that Peter had for us this morning. But there's a second passage of Scripture, this one from Paul, that also talks about the importance of the resurrection and what it means in our lives. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul does it in a roundabout way. Instead of saying, this is what the resurrection means to us, he kind of gives us the opposite. He says, what happens if there is no resurrection? What if it really didn't happen? What if there is no people rising from the dead when they die? What does that mean to us? You see, some people in the church at Corinth there had passed on, some believers, and people were wondering, well, is there going to be a resurrection from the dead? They denied it, and Paul writes this to them in 1 Corinthians 15. He says, starting in verse 13, that he did not raise him, but if God did not raise him, if in fact the dead are not... Oh, okay. Sorry, I'm trying to get the context here again. The context is here, believers are questioning whether or not the idea of resurrection when they die. And so, but if he did not raise him, if in fact they are not, the dead are not raised, they not raise Jesus if he is not, if the dead are not raised at all, if there's no resurrection at all. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those who are fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And that's the same. But if he did, was not... Okay, that's the problem. I have my slides backwards there. Okay, so it starts in verse 13. Let me start again. If there is no resurrection from the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he is raised from the dead. Then it's this one. No. Yeah. But if he did not raise him, if in fact the dead are not raised, for if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, our faith is futile, and you are still living in your sins. Those who have fallen asleep, who have died in Christ, are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than in all men. But Christ indeed has been risen from the dead, and the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. See, what Paul's saying here is that if you do not believe that people are raised from the dead when they die, then it's not possible for anyone, including Jesus, to have risen from the dead. And if Jesus did not rise, even everything about our faith is wrong. Our faith in Jesus is useless, and the message that Paul's been preaching all along is useless. In fact, it would be an outright lie, Paul says. And if our faith teaches us that Jesus died to save us from our sins, that would be incorrect as well. And we're still living in our sinful nature. The whole idea that Jesus came to redeem us would not be correct in that case. But, he says, Jesus was raised from the dead. He was indeed raised, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. The first one to experience resurrection from the dead. I lost my place again. Paul goes on to say later on, or earlier in 1 Corinthians, that God will raise us from the dead by his power, just as he raised the Lord from the dead. Very important part, because if Jesus has been risen from the dead like we know he was, we too have that promise that God will raise us from the dead. That same power that raised Jesus from the dead will give life to our bodies as well. I think I told you this last year when I preached on the Easter about a book I love. It's a book called A Skeleton in God's Closet. I don't want to give too much away because it's a very fascinating book that it's written fiction, but it makes it seem like it's real life, like it's really happening. See, an archaeologist finds what appears to be the bones of Jesus. They're in a dig in Israel, and they find what appears to be the bones of Jesus. And all evidence points to this being true, that all the data seems to line up, that this was not a hoax, that this was actually the bones of Jesus. They have proof all around that seems to point in that direction. And as they are trying to keep this secret, it eventually goes public because of something. It goes public before it's officially released. And the world just goes crazy. You know, the body of Jesus has been found. These bones are truly the bones of Jesus. And it happens right around the Easter time. And it's very fascinating how the book describes what might happen if the bones of Jesus were actually found. It shows how important our belief in Jesus' resurrection is. And of course, I don't want to spoil a story, but eventually they do find out that the bones are actually false. But that's kind of getting a spoiler alert. But it's very fascinating that how would we react if someone found what supposedly would be the bones of Jesus? You see, Jesus' resurrection proves not only Jesus' teachings, but we who follow his teachings, that we will one day rise from the dead. Jesus was the first one who was raised never to die again. And because of that one act on Easter Sunday, it gives us hope that when we die, we too will rise. We too will be given eternal life with God our Father. We too will have hope that God will raise us up just like he did with Jesus. See, that's why Easter Sunday is so important to our faith. It gives us hope that we will not just blink out of existence. It gives us hope to face the troubles of tomorrow, like we sang about in Because He Lives. Because he lives, we can face whatever comes our way. We don't need to worry or fret or fear what lies ahead because of the promise of God. God will raise us from the dead by his power, by the same power he raised the Lord from the dead. And this should give us hope that we have a Savior not only who forgives our sins, not only who covers our sins with his righteousness, but who still is risen. Not only one that cleanses us from our wrongdoings, but makes us alive again, puts new life in our bodies. And this is not wishful thinking or a vain hope. This is the reality of Easter Sunday, that he is risen. And so this is what we proclaim this morning. We are not without hope this Sunday. We have the evidence and the proof that Jesus is alive. I came across this poem also this last week as I was studying for this message. Let me read it to you this morning. It says, "If Jesus be dead in the grip of the tomb, there'd be nothing for us but fear and doom. Life would be sad with no way to cope. Death would reign all without any hope. If Jesus be dead in the grip of the tomb, we'd have no future, only dark and gloom. No life after death, no eternity in sight. No hope, no joy, no Savior, no light. But," they put a big da-da-da-dot, "but thanks be to God, Jesus rose to life. The debt all paid, though sin was rife. His body lay in a tomb 3 days. Then up from the grave his life was raised. Yes, thanks be to God, Jesus rose to life. He conquered death, all sin and strife. To those who believe, from death set free, with hope, with joy, their Savior to see. He lives. And because he lives, we also will live. Those who receive Jesus as have their hope in eternal life, the hope of heaven." In fact, that's what we're going to talk about next week as we continue our series on hope, the hope of heaven. We're going to talk about what heaven's going to be like. Heaven is a wonderful place. We're going to talk about who can go there. It's because this is another promise of hope that should get our hearts pumping. But as I finish up this morning, I want to ask us all a question that we all really need to think about, that if we would die today, would you have that hope of eternal life? Do you know that your life will forever be with the Lord? Or will Jesus have to send you to hell? Because that's another reality that we'll talk about in our next series, that there is a heaven, that there's also hell. It is a reality. You'll see that heaven is real and so is hell. And I would hate to send anyone away from this service without an opportunity to experience that life change that comes through Easter. to experience the opportunity to change where they'll end up when they die. So if you do not have the hope of the resurrection to life in heaven, in the quiet of your heart right now, I just wanted you to say these words to the Lord in the quiet of your hearts. Say, Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. If I would die right now, I'm not sure if I would make it into heaven. Please come into my life and take away all my sins. Give me the hope of Easter and your resurrection in my life this morning. In your name, amen. Now, if you said that to God this morning, whether you're here in our sanctuary or listening online, it would thrill me just to know that. If you said that prayer this morning, if you said that in your heart, just let me know. You can leave a comment on Facebook. You can let me know after church. It would just thrill me because I want you to know that hope that Easter brings. That hope comes through a risen Savior.